Brothers and sisters, I just returned yesterday from Chicago, where I attended a seminar on forming intentional disciples. It was led by Sherry Waddell, who wrote the book by the same name. And the seminar was centered around a rather disturbing statistic from CARA. When asked whether or not, or whether they believed it was possible to have a personal relationship with Christ, 48% of Catholics responded positively. They said, yes, it is possible to have a personal relationship with Christ. This means that 52% of Catholics don't believe that such a relationship is possible. That's a rather alarming statistic. And as I was thinking about this, I think this is something that we really need to focus on. I needed to emphasize as we looked at covenants. Because the whole point of covenants is God establishing a relationship with his people. Through the covenants, God establishes a personal relationship with us. The whole movement of Lent is geared around this notion that God is establishing a covenantal relationship with us. And so as we look at our readings today and continue to explore the theme of covenant, I ask you to do so with a heart that's open to the ways in which God is calling you to enter into a personal relationship with him. Our readings today connect with two of the Old Testament covenants. In the gospel reading, we heard of Moses. Moses, as we heard last week, was given the law for the Jewish people, and it was through the law that God established them as a holy nation, a people that were set apart for a special purpose. And then in the first reading today, we heard the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of the four major prophets of the Old Testament. And it was to him that the Lord promised there would be a new covenant in which he would inscribe his law on the hearts of his people. So both of these covenants that we hear today speak of God's laws. And when they do so with joy. Indeed, all of the scriptures refer to God's law with joy. To know and to follow God's law is viewed as a great blessing. The very first psalm says, "Blessed is the man whose delight is the law of God." And the book of Deuteronomy says that a nation that follows God's law is a wise and discerning nation. And then in Psalm 147, the psalmist rejoices that God has given his statutes and his laws to Israel. And then he adds, he has not done this for any other nation. Of such laws, they know nothing. Now, contrast that response to the way in which we view laws today. When we hear of laws and rules and regulations, we usually don't rejoice. We usually think of them as oppressive. We tend to lament having laws. You know, at very best, we view them as something that are necessary but somewhat regrettable. At worst, we pride ourselves on our ability to break the laws and often say things like, rules were meant to be broken. Yet, every time we hear of laws in Scripture, they're always met with great joy. So, why is it that Israel took such pleasure in God's laws? Whereas we find them oppressive. Friends, I think this is an important question for us to reflect upon. For the laws are there to help us enter into a personal relationship with God. That is to say, they speak to us of what God is like. And thereby, they help us to conform our lives to God's life. So they should be a source of joy. You know, think of it this way. If the goal of our lives is to share life with God in heaven, then we need to live in accord with his ways so that we can truly share his life. We must live in the light of truth, as we heard in the gospel. We can't live in the darkness of error. Instead, we must seek what is true and bring it into the light. Well, this brings us to that famous question asked by Pontius Pilate. What is truth? And indeed, this is a philosophical question that's been asked in many forms. You know, many people, Christian and non-Christian alike, strive to find truth. Scientists seek to discover the truths that govern our physical world. and they do so by learning and articulating scientific laws. Mathematicians seek to understand the truths of mathematics, and they rejoice when they're able to uncover and articulate mathematical laws. Yet neither mathematics nor science can ever hope to provide us with the ultimate truth about the reality of our existence. Truths such as, who are we? Why are we here? What's the meaning of our lives? What's our purpose? That truth can only come from the one who created us. And so if we wish to know these deeper truths about ourselves, we need to enter into a personal relationship with our Creator. And in order to enter into a personal relationship with our Creator, we need to know what He's like. We need to share life with Him, but the only way we can do that is if He reveals what His life is like to us. And this is precisely what God does when He gives us His law. You see, by giving us His law, He's not trying to restrict or oppress us. Rather, He's informing us what He's like and how He lives His life. And He's giving us the opportunity to know Him and to unite ourselves with Him by conforming our lives to His. So now do you see why the Israelites rejoiced when they received the law? They rejoiced because God revealed to them a way of life that allowed them to live in harmony with God. He called them into a deeper relationship with Him through the law. He taught them truths that He had not taught to other nations, and thereby He made them a holy nation, a nation that was set apart for a special purpose. This revelation of who God is was brought to its fulfillment in the very person of Jesus Christ. In Christ, we are able to see the fullness of God, for Christ is God. He is the truth. He is the light. And yet, sadly, as we heard in the gospel, the verdict is in. People preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. This remains true today. It wasn't only true in biblical times, as we heard in that first reading, but it's also true today. Many people prefer darkness to light. Rather than listening to the tradition of the church, which faithfully proclaims Jesus and what He said and what He did, many people prefer to live in darkness and error, and instead they decide for themselves what Jesus said and what He did. They domesticate Jesus, turning Him into somebody who agrees with everybody, somebody who doesn't judge anyone. And in doing so, they find themselves living in the darkness of error. Many people prefer the darkness to light because they don't like the laws. And so they dismiss the laws, saying that they're discriminatory, they're old-fashioned, they're oppressive, they're prejudiced. In actuality, they should be looking at the laws and saying they are true. They are the path to salvation. Rather than resisting the laws, they should rejoice that God has revealed His laws to us. You know, even among Christians, this tendency to prefer darkness over light persists. Some of us complain that God has given us a commandment requiring us to keep holy the Sabbath. And we reject this commandment, and thereby we reject our obligation to attend Mass and on holy days and on Sundays. Other times we may dislike the truths that God revealed to us about human sexuality, the notion that sex is reserved to marriage, or that marriage is to be between one man and one woman, or that sex should be open to life. And consequently, we find people criticizing and rejecting bishops, priests, and fellow Christians who dare to speak the unpopular truths about human sexuality by rejecting fornication and upholding the dignity of marriage between one man and one woman. You know, in fact, this promiscuous nature of our culture has become so formative on us that we've actually gotten to the point where the UN has criticized the Holy See and the Pope, stating that the church needs to change her teachings on sexuality because they violate treatises on human rights, in particular, a right for teenagers to fornicate. Again, We see human beings preferring darkness to light. But the gospel reveals to us that God is love and that Christ is the light. When we say that God is love, what we're saying is that he wills what is good for us. His laws, therefore, are given not to oppress us, but to bring about what is good in us, to bring us into the light. When we live in the light, we're capable of entering a personal relationship with God and sharing life with him. We see this most profoundly in the Eucharist, where we enter into this radical relationship with God, bringing him into our very bodies. And when we do this, we're following his law. We're following that last command that he gave us, that command to do this in memory of me. So the laws aren't there to oppress us or restrict us. The laws are meant to bring us into a relationship with God. And so we shouldn't lament the law, but rather rejoice that God loves us so much that he revealed his ways to us so that we could convert our lives and enter into a deep and a profound and, dare I say, a personal relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who enter into a personal relationship with God through his covenants.